So we move to the administrative item of the executive officer report.
Okay, the executive officer's report, you should have three supplementals. They're all stapled together. I'll lead off with the blue version of the EEO report. You have a 401 cert table, traditional 401 cert table, those received and those issued. We have a good news story associated with the Hollister wastewater treatment plant. Deafening. The applause is deafening.
What a turnaround.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great story. An update on the Santa Barbara subsurface desal intake.
Are we taking questions?
Stop me at any point that you want to talk about. Yeah.
I got a letter on that. It's on. Didn't we get a letter from Channel Keeper about that? Or some inquiry, I thought.
Well, you recall that Kira Redmond came to the meeting in Santa Barbara.
Right.
She was also planning to distribute a letter at that meeting. And I don't know if that made it to the board or not. I think she may have emailed a copy to us, Tammy.
It was denied at the meeting because it wasn't turned in time. And she said she would mail it later. Did you end up with it, Lisa?
Yeah.
Ended up with it?
I sent it to Harvey.
Oh.
Last week.
Harvey has it.
Can you put it up on the monitor for us?
Possibly. If I can plug my laptop.
Well, my question while we're doing that, I was just interested in the timeline here, and I recall when we went through the review of their permit and moved it forward with some additional conditions, including that they would do a baseline study prior to doing the alternatives assessment. And I haven't seen any further comment on where that. I'm sure it's not an outcome, you know, in terms of where they ultimately make, you know, what their indicators or decision factors are, but it's certainly to me for us it's very important to understand what is the baseline prior to the startup or even the testing. So I just wondered if staff had any knowledge of what that looks like.
I don't think that we voted for the baseline study. I thought that was
thought
at
we
the
did.
Beat.
No, I thought
on that motion.
I thought we did.
All we agreed to was the alternative study.
It was the feasibility study that we looked at.
Study. But yeah. I wanted a baseline done.
Me too.
We
didn't get it?
No, we didn't. That was on the...
I missed that.
It was a 5-2 vote.
Correct.
And I thought it was just Mayor Delgado and myself that voted in the negative.
I wanted the baseline.
No, I was trying.
Yeah.
I move reconsider. Never mind.
No,
right, it is
not an option for
well,
today.
Folks,
sorry.
Folks, that part is water under the bridge.
Yeah.
So
well,
we
it,
need
it
to
is.
Move on to first, let's post that letter because, you know, otherwise we're going to go back in history here. I think we need to move forward.
Well, I'm glad to be clear on it, though. I was expecting to see something, so thank you.
Do you need a little more time, Harvey? And
I'm almost there.
Okay.
Or if you want to move on to the next item, we can come back. That might be a
sure.
Good idea.
No problem.
So I can move on, and then when Harvey's ready, we'll come back to that item. Okay. The drought report has been pulled inside of the EEO report. So here's some updates associated with drought-related activities, specific Central Coast activities. Okay, now I'm going to move back to the supplemental sheets. The first one is a status of Pure Water Monterey and the sort of salient message in that is there's some water rights evaluation activities that took place in April. Staff worked on that would be Lisa McCann and Karen Worcester. Questions on that? Okay, seeing none, I'll jump forward to the...
Well, I would ask, what is the next step?
On Pure Water Monterey?
Yeah.
So there's quite a few next steps. Some are developing engineering drawings and design for them. There are a myriad of permitting pathways that they're working through. So we're kind of in a monitoring, inappropriate use from the context of the last item, but we're monitoring their progress right now. They will come to us at some point with some, very likely, with some permit applications.
So, if I may. So ultimately, I mean, right now we're just looking at this lagoon question. Ultimately, presumably, if the process continues, there will be permitting. There'll be permit before us, and then we'll be looking at intake and brine questions.
It'll be, and I'll look for Harvey because I think this is primarily MPDS, falls in the MPDS and recycled water realm, but there'll likely be a recycled water component to it, permitting action.
There will be one new permit, and that is a permit to recharge the aquifer using the recycled water. A modified NPDS permit, since they're going to be modifying their effluent stream from the wastewater treatment plant. And possibly, and this may not involve the board, it may involve the statewide general order for recycled water, the order by which Monterey County Water Resources Agency delivers the waters to the farmers for application on irrigated agriculture. So three different permits, one of them being new.
So I'm confused. This is not the desal plant we're talking about. This is just taking water from the from various wastewater and stormwater sources, giving it, one assumes, tertiary treatment, and then using it for crop irrigation. Is that correct?
That is pretty much correct. Even beyond tertiary, they're going to advanced water treatment, which includes reverse osmosis.
And they would be then, but this would not be potable?
Half of the incoming stream will go, all of it will go through the wastewater treatment plant tertiary and get treated to the tertiary level. Half of the new flows will get run through the advanced treatment plant, similar to what Cambria is doing, through the RO, and that will get sent to the seaside aquifer to recharge the aquifer. The other half will not go through the RO, but will go to the irrigation.
Yeah.
And there's a completely separate but related project that will be a standalone desal facility. That desal facility will also discharge its brine through the same outfall that's owned by Monterey Regional Water Pollution Control Authority.
Okay, but that's a separate, it's a related project because they've been arguing about what is it doing when, about.
Right, it's about 2 years behind the Pure Water Monterey project.
Okay, so this is just a project then to take waste stream water, run it through the sewage treatment plant, and inject some of it in the aquifer in the seaside aquifer after RO, and the other portion of it will be irrigation water, presumably in the Salinas Valley, where they're trying to replace they're trying to reduce seawater intrusion.
Correct, and I'm guessing Jessica will jump in as soon as we cross the line about talking about a pending application because they do have a report of waste discharge in, but after it's efforts used for recharge, Cal-Am will withdraw it through its existing wells and put it into its distribution system and cut back on its Carmel River pumping by the equivalent amount.
So that's an analog to Cambria.
Yep, very similar.
And the one that's online is the one that would be using the shallow wells, the slant wells that they're still doing the test drilling on, the one that's related but
the
behind.
Diesel plant
the one what?
The desal plant is the one that would be using those slant wells.
Right. They have a one pilot slant well installed that's being tested right now.
Right. Okay.
And would drill several more of those for the desal project.
Okay. I was confusing them. Thank you.
Statement here that Lisa knows all about on page 2 of the supplemental in the middle paragraph. So maintaining adequate depth and volume of water to support fish habitat is going to be an issue. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
According to NIMS and fish biologists and Karen Worcester corroborating it.
And you too. I mean,
yeah.
I'm
not staff. A fish biologist, but
right. But our staff supports that. So, how much of a problem is that going to be then for the project if they have to maintain a certain minimum flow requirement?
That's unknown, but we don't necessarily anticipate it to be a big problem because its current operations with the drought have created a limited change in the volume and conditions in the lagoon for several years now. So the diversion of the water, if they divert all the water, the allegation is that then they will have a problem in the future. So they'll have to decide, and that's being negotiated right now between NIMS and the project proponents, with the state board water rights folks facilitating and waiting for their resolution. And also, we've been coordinating with Monterey County Water Resources Agency on a lagoon management plan to protect fish because the sand dune doesn't breach naturally anymore. And that's also true or enhanced because of the drought, but has been a longstanding condition because of the management of Nacimiento River and the flows coming down the river that are managed for groundwater recharge.
Meaning no flow to the ocean.
Correct. No flow to the ocean, which is beneficial for the good times of the year for the fish, because that means there is flow backing up in the lagoon, but it's not good when they need to be able to get out and get in.
All right. Harvey?
This is the letter from Channel Keeper.
We have 17 pages.
Ooh, that's a long letter, huh?
To read?
I mean,
it's, you know, I don't mind, but that's a lot of pages to read.
Read aloud to us, Harvey.
Well, you know what her issue has been, just to sum it up, because I know what it is. I've read about it in the paper.
Give us the summary.
She feels that we should have ordered the city to do a feasibility study on 3,125 acre feet per year, or 5,000 acre feet here, or, you know, increments up to 10,000, and that she thinks the city is somehow skirting around the intent of what we had ordered.
Yeah, the city did the feasibility study based on the maximum permitted level versus what the levels that they are planning on starting out, which isn't the maximum. And so what may have been feasible at lower is not necessarily feasible at 10,000, and that's her complaint.
That's her complaint. And, you know, she, I think, wants the water board to open this up or, you know, clarify to the city that they have to do a feasibility study at the amount of water they're actually going to use. But that level has changed recently because now Montecito is partnering in on the plant, and they've added 1,000 acre feet.
At least they might be adding up to 3,000 acre feet.
Adding
over time.
So I just think staff needs to let Channel Keeper know that, I mean, we routinely require compliance at the maximum capacity of whatever the plant is, whether it's a discharge or otherwise.
Plus,
and frankly, I think that they're going to be looking at more regional options.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, we were looking at more regional projects.
Yeah, I was going to say that's actually the encouragement from, you know, state board and regional boards is regionalization rather than having a bunch of smaller plants and having larger ones and then sharing the operation and maintenance, which makes it a lot more cost effective too than individual plants. Plus all the permitting processes then, you know, one stop shop rather than multiple. So, you know, I see where you're coming from, Jeff. So, you know, I assume we have not responded to this letter. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I do agree that a response is appropriate. And, you know, maybe what you have articulated could be, you know, in the body of a letter. So at least we respond and we don't just leave
that open. I think we'll respond, and I think we're clear on what your suggestions are. Municipalities aren't in the habit of building excess capacity and then not using it. It's wasteful of ratepayers' dollars.
That's
so I don't anticipate that capacity will be there forever. That unused capacity will be there forever, and I think we should anticipate that their intake structure should reflect that max capacity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, plus.
I have a question. So is the upshot, just for the bottom line, are the feasibility studies leading to the conclusion that they're going to do open ocean or use the current design and they can't do subsurface?
Correct. At 10,000, yes.
So I haven't read 17 pages at all. I don't think I've seen this, but it's what I've read. And I know where Kira is coming from, and I just think that it would be great if staff could just, you know, make sure she understands what's going on. You know, and the other thing is this, at 3125 or 4500, that's also less impact on the environment. I mean, if there's less water being generated, there's less harm being done on the environment. You know, so there's some benefit there. But I would inform her that this is a typical way we would evaluate, you know, compliance with any plant capacity.
I think it would be really irresponsible to piecemeal a project and continue to, yeah, you know, upgrade and break out the CEQA process and the impacts. And so I would think it would be quite irresponsible to do it that way. I think it should be permitted to the highest feasibility that they intend to use over.
And put that in the letter, too. I mean, we wouldn't require, you know, repeated evaluations every time they wanted to add another 1,500 acre feet of year onto this permit.
Well, that if it's permitted for 10,000, if they did want to increase it over and above 10,000, we would have to re-permit that, and
right,
that would reopen.
That would reopen CEQA, but right. But it would be irresponsible for them, you know, ultimately to not permit it to the full capacity.
Since it is permitted to 10,000, if they were just looking at it at 3,000 or 4,000, then they could kind of break it up incrementally themselves that way.
Yeah, and they'll adjust their operation regimen. I mean, they're not neophytes, certainly. And it was contemplated originally as a regional facility back in the 90s with Goleta and Montecito and City of Santa Barbara. So it's really just realization of that decades-old vision.
Well, plus, I think most water districts are readjusting and recalibrating their views in light of, the new norm, which is droughts and climate change. Yes, Mike.
Well, I'm at a little disadvantage because both I haven't seen this letter and I did miss the colloquy at the last board meeting. But if the and what I'm getting from this is that they are still doing the final analysis, but that the preliminary results are that none of the various alternate locations they looked at for subsurface intake would be capable of delivering 10,000.
Right.
And I guess my question is, I see one of the suggestions is in the letter, and I'm not sure if it's quoting something from the State Board because I haven't read the letter, but is that they should be looking at the potential for using more than one location to arrive at the 10,000. And that, if they've done the studies, that seems like a relatively, it's easy for me to say, relatively simple piece of analysis to do and to include in the final report. I agree that it doesn't make any sense to say you got a 10,000 acre foot a year permit, but this feasibility study should only have been done at 3,000 some odd. But does it make any sense for us to say among the things that you should be analyzing in your feasibility study is the potential for and the feasibility of using more than one of the six different locations you studied for subsurface intakes?
I could say couple of things here. You know, I see us in two different paths. I think the first task is to respond to this letter and address that and the language to use. The second is if we do feel that we have a consensus that maybe we suggest for the study to be tweaked a little bit to address or to reflect Mike's comment. One thing that would help me, I never lack to have to read, speed read, because that's how it gets me in trouble, and that's how that has gotten us in trouble in the past. So I'd like to avoid that. But what would help also is to see the exact language of what we had agreed in Santa Barbara, because I know that the city came and they were pretty specific on what they were going to do as part of that feasibility study, because that was a big question, and we're going to do A, B, C. What I'd like to do is to kind of review again, okay, what was the commitment made? And then we can compare that to the deliverable, because I do vaguely recall that it was going to include options, because obviously the big objection was using the existing intake, you know, and the impact on impingement and entrainment. And, you know, we had this long discussion about the screen size, et cetera, and then the big discussion about, you know, subsurface intake. And I think, recall that the feasibility study was to include that in the options of a review. So, indeed, if subsurface was an option, we had discussion about that. Well, you know, then you have two pipes, you know, or a Y intersect or something like that. So I would like personally to get my memory refreshed on what was agreed. Harvey?
I can read the language from the permit if you'd like. It was two provisions. that we added to the existing permit. And one of them says, the discharger shall submit a feasibility study work plan acceptable to the Regional Water Board by August 31st, 2015. The feasibility study work plan shall analyze the feasibility of a range of alternatives, including subsurface intake and potable reuse options. So that's the first requirement. Submit a work plan that studies subsurface intake and potable reuse options. They did that. The executive officer wrote a letter back in response in October approving the work plans. And then the second provision is the discharger shall report the results of these analyses and the discharger's intended implementation actions to the Regional Water Board at a public meeting no later than June 30th, 2017.
So it's work in progress, and we can...
The only language there is a range of options.
Right.
And, you know, when we were going through this agenda item, in my mind at least, I was only thinking of, well, is it the beachside wells that they're going to put in, or is it tearing up the East Beach area, the anchorage, and putting in subsurface intake lines that way, or is it some other method? I was never thinking that there might be a suite of 30% would come from this, 30% would come from the outfall line, 30% might come from some other source. So I think we were just thinking which of these sources in this range of options makes the most sense to use, which is most feasible for them.
But isn't that... No, that's what we're asking, a range of options.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound, unless I miss a point, no, well, that Mike, we're
Mike
getting
was,
that.
Mike was thinking perhaps combination. Am I wrong, Mike?
I was thinking perhaps if they were studying different locations for subsurface intake and none of them were capable of 10,000 acre foot a year, looking at the option of doing multiple locations for subsurface intake, which is kind of the default preferred thing under the new rules, we allowed them to be grandfathered in under the old rules, the urging of the state board.
That's exactly the same as when we had talked about, I remember, I asked the question on using the surface intake. I say, hey, well, you know, you got other options here. What about if you put a Y and you basically have two intakes which reduce in half the velocity of the intake? I remember we discussed that. So I would interpret the range of options, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if a study right now is being biased, so to speak, I think we perhaps could have a point through our executive officer saying, well, we don't consider this to be a range of option because you're basically, you know, singling out only one option. I don't know. Do we have that ability to do that? Are we stepping
over? Well, they're coming to the board. They'll be coming to the board to report the results of their studies.
But we already approved the work plan. What did we approve?
The work plan didn't have that kind of detail. It did have the flow rates that they were going to look at, but I don't think it talked about, you know, I can't imagine it had details on what their results were going to be.
Right,
they haven't done it yet.
I think a work plan in this case, Jeff, is the definition of we're going to do a study and we're going to review alternatives and, you know, these are going to be the criteria to use. From an engineering standpoint, a work plan is not already with the end result in mind. Is how are you going to perform the study? What options are you going to look at, etc.? The methodology, you know, is part of a work plan. Correct me if I'm wrong.
But did they tell us that we're going to look at subsurface intakes? We're going to look at beach wells.
That was part of the feasibility study. So I do want to caution the board members somewhat in that as part of the permit, they agreed to do the feasibility study. If it comes out that the board wants something other than their really preferred method, I don't know how much authority we actually have to change anything based on the fact that they're grandfathered in. So I caution the board that our options are fairly limited at this point. We've gotten them to do the feasibility study, but I don't know that we can do anything other than that.
But Jessica, what we can, and I don't think that's stepping out of bound, you know, say that your feasibility study does not reflect the language that Harvey just put out. And perhaps what we should do before they go their merry way finishing the study, and then we come back and say, eh, we don't like it, I think, you know, this would be only fair for them to give a little heads up, hey, you know, we want to make sure we're on the same page here. Are you looking at all those options?
Right, that their range of alternatives is essentially wide enough.
And I think it's good policy to do that rather than waiting the end, and then we're saying, that's not what we were looking for.
I think we did that when we reviewed the work plan and approved the work plan. So we approved the methodology and the things they said they were going to study. That's the decision point outlined in the provisions I read. So now coming in halfway through the studies themselves, not sure that's what that was envisioned in there.
So are they scheduled?
Hold on.
Okay.
Did the work plan that we approved itemize or detail the range of alternatives they were going to include?
I don't recall the details, but I'm sure it was at least in the detail of, yes, we're going to look at subsurface, and we'll look at open screened pipes and the various types of maybe slant wells or vertical wells, and then under floor subsurface types intakes. So it had at least that amount of detail, yeah.
So if we directed them to perform a subsurface feasibility study, and halfway through that study we get wind that it didn't seem like an adequate range of alternatives, do we have any authority to comment and direct them to add some alternatives?
In addition to that,
okay. Jessica, do you have an answer?
If we found that the feasibility study itself was inadequate, we could ask them to go back and redo it. There's a different answer if we just don't like their feasibility
study. Right. Yeah, it's not a matter of not liking their conclusion, wanting a different answer. It's a matter of midway through having the opinion they don't have an appropriate range of alternatives. And what our chair was saying is, rather than wait till it's over and tell them that, do we have the authority now midway to comment and tell them, we strongly suggest you add an alternative or two, whatever we're thinking?
I think staff would have to go back and look at the work plan that they approved, the feasibility study, determine whether there is a need for an additional range of alternatives, and then have that discussion with Santa Barbara. I can't tell you one way or the other right now without looking at the actual documents.
Thank you.
So, pardon me, because I'm new to this to a degree, but what was the criteria under which we approved their work plan? Did we assess it against some rubric that we allowed them and authorized them to move forward with the work plan?
The wording in the permit's all we had.
That's all that we had. Yeah. So there wasn't anything extra that we asked them to do. So we are sort of coming, we would be coming in and requesting further information that we hadn't stated at that time, and right. Augmenting
with the approval letter.
Correct.
That probably would have been the appropriate time to make the assessment that this was or was not appropriately broad.
Right. And so are they on schedule to bring us anything in progress, any sort of draft, or is it?
You know if there's any check-in points?
None specified in the report. We could ask them to come to a meeting and give us a report, but I don't think they were planning until they were finished with the final as required in the permit.
Yeah, I guess my question is, and I mean, the first question is, okay, so we approved a work plan that said that they would study these various alternatives, and we have some knowledge of at least where they're going because they have had public workshops. And I guess my suggestion was not to direct them, and I'm not sure we have the authority to direct them, to go back and change the work plan, but in terms of the analysis that they do of the work they've done so far, to suggest that they consider, they're not that they consider new alternatives other than the various alternatives they're looking at, but that they consider whether any of those alternatives in combination would work. So we're not necessarily changing the work plan. And I frankly think our leverage is extremely limited. All we really got out of this was the ability to make this a public issue in Santa Barbara that their constituents could push them on, I think, at the end of the day, really. So I think it's useful to that. If we can, and we have to operate in good faith, and if we go back and look at the work plan we approved, and it would be really inconsistent for us to say, in your analysis of the work you did and the work plan we approved, we would like to see you look at the possibility of combining multiple inputs. And once again, I think as you said, if they come to a conclusion we don't like, and frankly, all they said they would do was a feasibility study, I mean, let's be real. Even if they said it's feasible to do under sand intake, nothing in that permit binds them to do that. They can go right ahead and use the intake they have, and there were reasons we did that, I mean, it's strictly a matter of setting up a situation where if the public chooses to and is able to pressure them to do something that is more environmentally appropriate than the open ocean intake they've got, you know, there's a tool to do that.
So if I can recommend some direction that the board may consider giving.
Before that, I think you need to hear.
No, actually, Michael covered exactly what I was going to raise as a shift in the focus was to the analysis and how they use the data that they've already collected. So it's not a change in the work plan. So thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
So before you make your recommendation, this is standard engineering practice. When you have a report and a feasibility study, you have progress in the project. There's never anything wrong to take the progress in a study and then do a review and comment before final submittal. In fact, most good engineering companies will do that because they want to make sure that their end product meets the intent from the customer. And what was the process for us to approve this work plan? I mean, I want to ask that before you make suggestions so we have a whole picture.
So the work plan was reviewed by Dr. Von Lang and on our staff. We briefed at least EO Harris, and I don't remember who else, and then Ken signed the letter approving the work plan.
Okay.
Right. Using the language in the permit. Yeah.
How detailed was the work plan when it came to alternatives to be considered?
Again, I don't recall that. I didn't. I may have looked it over, but it was mainly Peter who did the thorough review of it.
You have it available through the web?
Yeah, I can probably get it. There also are at least draft, if not final, documents. In fact, I got an email, I think, this morning about some new documents that the city had posted. They have a technical advisory committee run by a neutral third party. I think the process is well designed, and there are experts who are evaluating the work. So, and I don't even think Kira is arguing that the work is being done poorly. Her main argument is that the flow rate should have been different that they looked at.
You know, part of the problem why there's this vagueness is that the city had agreed, even before the hearing, to the feasibility plan. They had agreed with Channel Keeper to do it. So they just came in and said, oh, we'll go ahead and do it. We've agreed to it. So we just stuck it into the permit simply because they agreed to it. That's why it's lacking maybe more specificity that we would like in hindsight.
Now, they have an August 3rd meeting coming up, right, to present their initial screening of their alternatives. So they haven't even gone public. So it seems like, depending on Jessica's suggestion, that there may be an opportunity for us to communicate with them, like our chair is suggesting.
Okay, Jessica, your turn.
So what I was going to recommend is that you ask staff to review both the work plan and the documents that they've received from the county thus far, and determine whether there is any more wiggle room for them to talk to the county about either adding alternatives or assessing a combination of alternatives in their conclusionary analysis. But I think staff really needs to go back and look at the work plan before they can give you an answer on, and the documents themselves before they can give you an answer on what should be done.
So the timeline for that, though, would have to be pretty short, given Bruce's point about the August meeting. We would want to convey this to them before they have their public meeting.
Right. And I think it would help. We're not in San Luis Obispo, so we don't have all of our staff present. And there are staff at the regional board that have been much more involved and know all of these documents much more intimately and can give quicker answers than Harvey or John or myself can give you.
But in order not to let too much time go by, and like I said, in the fairness also for the consultants doing the study, that we don't come last minute and say, gee, why didn't you talk to us before? You know, we could have added this to the modeling. If my fellow board members are comfortable with this, you know, I would like to see us give a specific direction to John. That way he knows exactly what we'd like. And the direction to John is to have staff review, you know, the work plan, what has been delivered so far, make the review, but then I don't think we should be waiting our July meeting. You come back to us and say, well, this is what we found. What would you like to
do? Right, right.
Is that you have your authority. You know, I mean, you're the experts.
Right,
and
right.
So you review it.
Communicate with the city.
And then address it with the city.
Right.
And that way we don't waste time.
Right. Okay.
Are we all comfortable with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. If something's doable, do it. And if it's
okay.
not.
Okay. So done.
Got
Thank
it.
You.
And then we'll report back on that.
Exactly.
Okay. I think I got that. Thank you. Okay, moving on.
Yes.
Unless I hear otherwise. Okay, next supplemental is the update for the process. Hang on. Nope, already did that one, right?
Salinas River.
We're on.
Salinas
yeah, let's
River.
Do the, let's do the channel maintenance item, the Salinas River channel maintenance item. Okay, so at the last board meeting, the board directed us to bring this item to you. That would be the certification for the channel maintenance. As is outlined in this supplemental, the timing of that does not work such that the Monterey County Water Resources Agency can get out into the field in a reasonable amount of time to get work done this prior to this coming rainy season. So what we're asking here is that you alter that direction, allow the executive officer to issue the certification. We would provide a July update to you outlining the rationale and the anticipated requirements based on negotiations with the Water Resources Agency under which I would issue that certification. Okay, so I'm asking you for a redirection there.
And what I would like to do is on this specific item, Steve Shimmick asked if I would read on his behalf, you know, a comment that he has. So I'll be reading his speaker card in fairness for the process. So for the record, Mr. Steve Shimmick, Executive Director of the Otter Project and Monterey Coast Keeper. So Chair Wolf and Board, when the Regional Water Quality Control Board met on the channel maintenance program last year in Watsonville, the Otter Project, Monterey Coast Keeper, requested a public hearing on the 401 certification. While we appreciate the need for expediency, we do not see how an update without no permit language as proposed by staff fulfills our request for a public hearing. We want to note that as mentioned in the staff report on this item, Monterey County Water Resource Agency has been given ample opportunity but has not provided the information requested by staff. This is not our problem. Without assurance that our concerns have been adequately addressed, we renew our request for public hearing on the actual language of the 401 certification of the Salinas River Channel Maintenance Program, Steve Shimmick.
And I'm going to add this. Subsequent to providing that written comment, Steve pulled out a letter and handed it to me, and he said, essentially what I want is the request in that letter met. And I have a copy of the letter, and we can provide that at some future time. The a procedural point here is that Steve would have his opportunity for public comment at the July informational item, and whether the board issues the certification or whether the executive officer issues a certification, he will have his opportunity, if he doesn't find the content to his liking, to petition either one of those actions. He cannot petition an informational item because there's no action there, I guess.
We don't consider an informational item to be final agency action that is subject to a petition.
So, but he could petition whether his option to petition is available, whether the board issues a certification or I issue the certification. There's nothing gained in that respect. He can offer his comment at the July meeting, and he has offered us his comment in this through this letter, and along the way we will also work with him to explain why, if we differ from what he's proposing in this letter, why that would be and why we think that our position is superior in that case. And I can characterize a couple of his points. One is that he would like the TNC to remain involved with the project, and we can't require that. That, I mean, it's just more than we can require somebody to own a project forever. TNC, I'm sorry,
the Nature Conservancy.
From a strategic point of view, that doesn't make a lot of sense. What we would do is place requirements in the certification that would protect water quality, not have a party present in the process. So it, from my point of view, it wasn't a substantive comment. I'll leave it at that. There were some other comments in the letter that we felt we could effectively address through the certification, whether it went through a public comment, whether it came to the board or I issued it.
And the certification will go through public comment,
right,
regardless of whether it goes to a public hearing. So he will be able to see the terms and conditions and comment on those, even if it's not at the July informational item.
So he'll have the opportunity at the July informational item. There may not be sufficient content at that item to his liking. He won't see the finished cert at that point, but there will be an opportunity for him to comment on the certification. Okay.
Will there be a chance for public to comment on the cert before the cert is signed?
Yes.
Yes, that's what the public 30-day public commenting period.
Yes, Mike.
It strikes me that he will probably have had dialogue with staff before the July meeting, opportunity to raise concerns during that information item at the July meeting, and that the board will have had opportunity during that information item, even though it's an information item, to generally give staff direction as well.
And certainly if we know what his concerns are ahead of time, the board can more properly address them at the hearing, and this board can address them in their direction as well.
If you don't feel we're adequately addressing those issues, you can direct us otherwise. Right.
So then, John, after hearing this, please repeat your request to the board.
So I'm asking that you rescind your direction to us to bring that 401 certification to you for approval and direct me to sign that certification.
And I believe that this does not require a vote but would be consensus. So I'll look for a nod. Yes, yes.
Correct. Right. I'm sorry, I did not include that, but correct. Correct.
Right.
Yes.
The request is written here, too.
Right.
So I want to clarify, when it comes in front of the board in July in an informational item, it won't be the cert itself signed and stapled. It will be an idea of staff of what it will be, what it will include, but it's not the final draft. That's why we can't bring it to you in July for your approval, because it's not final yet.
Right. It will go final sometime in August.
Okay.
And that's why it's an informational item and not for board approval.
So I had two nods. Bruce? No?
No? Can I make one comment?
Sure.
Just to clear the record or make the record, since John was just commenting and sharing Shimmick's comments, what that statement about not providing information is no longer accurate. The Monterey County Water Resources has provided all the information. Staff is working on negotiating the conditions. They have not been, they were delayed on a couple of items that have since been submitted. So.
Okay, so I go back. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Well, overall, I'm not comfortable with it. I don't understand why it's ended up this way. I do agree that there's been ample time to bring it to us, and it's been brought to us at a late date, put us in a hurry-up mode. The only public we've heard from has concerns about it, and that public probably knows more about this than I do. And so if he's comfortable, then it just stokes my discomfort with expediting the process.
Okay. Monica?
No, I didn't have an issue.
Oh.
Oh, you didn't have an issue. Oh, I thought you did. I'm okay with the recommendation to bring it back as an informational item and give the EO.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it, too, on the basis that we still will have an opportunity to you know, to review and comment. So it's not signed, sealed, and delivered, as Jessica put it.
Yeah, I just want to, because I'd rather have consensus, overall consensus, if we can. You know, Bruce, I think your concern is it's coming to us late. Why are we doing this hurried up process? I mean, my understanding of the normal process is this cert would not normally have come to a board vote. This cert would normally have been worked out by the staff, been subject to public comment, and we would get a staff report on it, but not a board vote. In the most recent board meeting, when there was such a report to us on the progress of this, the board gave direction that this come back to us for input in cert form, and that given the public noticing and comment periods, the legal requirements, this could only have happened if all the work had been done on the cert last month, weeks after the board made the request. So I don't feel like either the county or staff put us, the board, in this position. I feel like we created the situation with the request, easy for me to say because I wasn't there, with the request last meeting to bring this to the board. And when people actually looked at the calendar, it doesn't work in a way, assuming that there's some rain this winter, it doesn't work in a way to get this work going and to meet our legal requirements to have a public notice and public comment period. I don't think it's really true that anybody's delays, you know, have caused this to come to us late. We actually asked for a different process than normal at the last meeting, and when people sat down and looked at calendars, that process wouldn't work in time to let the work in the riverbed start, and it'd be a disaster to get halfway through that work and have it start raining and have the flows come up. So I actually think this is a good workaround, particularly if staff can work with Steve so that whatever questions he has come out in sharp relief at the meeting where there's a July report to us. And we can certainly we're not hesitant to give direction to staff as effectively as voting up or down a cert. But I think the important thing is we don't normally vote up and down certs.
And they're just here. They're just in the EO report.
Yeah, exactly.
In a table.
There was like 15 of them for this that we report on for this meeting.
You know, I've been involved with a lot of 401 certs. With yard CDs and never those come to the board. And I was just going to quickly say that although this was looking at the past but not looking at the future, I personally physically walked through site where this type of maintenance was performed. And I can say I have a little bit of experience on this because yard CD, that's the kind of stuff we do. And I felt that the work that has been performed, and that's all I can, you know, that I witnessed, was done properly. I had a chance to ask questions to the folks who were involved with the project. And, you know, to the best of my knowledge, I felt that the maintenance work done on the channel was done with proper respect to, you know, typically what is done in channel maintenance. Yes, Jeff?
Do we have the photos? Could they be put on the monitor?
Yeah, we do.
So, you know, Bruce, part of my reason for wanting to bring this back as a board action item was the fish habitat stuff. I was concerned that until I had done the field trip and seen the two river management units that they had completed their work on, that I was uncomfortable going ahead and allowing the 401 cert on the rest of the river, which is what this is all about. But having gone out there, and this is just what Jean-Pierre was alluding to, and seeing how much different their work today is versus what has happened in years past, you know, I understand the real problem is not this for the fish, it's the flows of water. That's really the big obstacle. And if you look at the picture you've got in front of you, that's in a secondary channel that was created. This is near the Gonzales Bridge. And, you know, to the right of it and to the left of it is still vegetation. There was no real clear cutting or scouring down to the primary river itself. And there's the other photograph. As the right in back of Jean-Pierre's head is a rondo. And I'm sure you know all about a rondo because you're a botanist. But you know what? Getting rid of that stuff, I think, would be helpful all around completely. And it's going to take a multi-year effort to do it. And I didn't see the scouring that Steve Shimmick had shown us years past, you know, right down to the river itself. And I think they're doing this in a responsible way. So
past, the farmers were going in with bulldozers and scraping out the riverbed.
Oh, yeah, scouring it right down. Yeah. And, in fact, they're not even touching the primary river itself. They're simply creating secondary channels to allow for overflow to try to maintain a 3 to 5 year flood. That really is about it. So what I saw, I felt good about.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
Mr. Shimmick commented when the project application was publicly noticed, which we're also obligated to do. And according to staff recently, Monterey County Water Resources Agency and staff have already agreed that the conditions that Mr. Shimmick requested, which have to do with placement of the locations of the overflow channels, not being too close to banks and the sides of the river and having some buffering, are all acceptable and fit within the work and are appropriate conditions. So as far as staff knows to date, there are no outstanding specific issues that Mr. Shimmick has requested that are a problem either way for neither the agency with the Nature Conservancy's proposal and staff's protections of water quality that they want in conditions in the water quality certification.
Staff will reach out to Mr. Shimmick to make sure that if there are disagreements, everybody's prepared on them.
Right. So I just, Ms. McCann is more familiar with the comment letter. Steve gave it to me this morning, right at the start of the meeting, and we'll make sure that we've worked through every issue, or those that we haven't worked through will daylight in July.
Bruce, any other observation or thoughts?
No.
Okay.
So as part of our direction that we're now giving to John, you're going to be receiving, if you haven't already, input from National Marine Fisheries Service. So to me, that's going to be critical. I want to know what that agency has to say, or Department of Fish and Wildlife, in terms of protection of beneficial uses. And, you know, if you're going to be proposing something other than what those agencies are recommending, I just would like to see the discussion. I'd like to know what staff's reasoning is and thinking behind that. What's that? Yeah, Bill Stevens.
Bill Stevens from National Marine Fisheries Service is scheduled to be at the July board meeting. He's already coordinated with staff. We've already asked him to be there in order to provide you that perspective and whatever questions you have about the proposed conditions.
Right. Oh, and I might have missed this, but we'll work with all stakeholders to try to daylight their concerns, not just nymphs or fish and wildlife. And as those are unresolved, we will bring those out to you in the July informational item. But I don't want to limit it. Just I heard what you said, Mr. Young, with respect to those two entities, but we'll be broader than that.
Yeah, I know you'll consider all stakeholders' points of view. Absolutely. I'm just giving you the heads up that I'm particularly sensitive to the fish and wildlife habitats because we have endangered species there.
And Bruce?
Understood.
Yeah, since we're talking about components of the proposal, given Jeff Young's concerns about the fish habitat being appropriate, my concern, well, one of my concerns about the components is the Arundo. And it's not a 2 to 5 year project. You know, you're talking about a 100-mile river that's infested from the San Luis Obispo portion of it down to the mouth. So I'd be curious what the management plan is for the Arundo, how long the obligations are to remove it. And, you know, when you use the word eradication, that's almost impossible for this system to eradicate Arundo. But if it was the goal, it would be a very laudable goal. But I'm curious to see what teeth there are or realistic feasible plans there are to manage it, not just for the short term, because if that's all you do is you manage it for the short term while you're recontouring the river, when you're done recontouring the river, the Arundo will come back to its former status, and everyone might be done with their obligation, but the Arundo will be just as it was.
Well, some of those questions were asked by Jeff and I during the field trip. You know, some of the first questions was, are you starting upstream or downstream? Because Arundo tends to, during floods, you know, be derooted and then sprouts downstream. So that was one item. The other is like, are you considering the job done and you move on? And it was recognized that it's long-term. But one thing that came out, and I think that's reality, is we're not going to get 100% perfection in eradication. So there are some areas in that Arundo was present, but to remove it would have been so disruptive that you would, you know, really have other consequences associated with it. So it was the main channels, you know, that we looked at. Those were the ones addressed that would impair the flow. But, you know, they started with a forest where you couldn't even see yourself. So, you know, there probably will be a little patch here and there, but I do believe the plan had some long-term monitoring associated with it. So there is some hook that, you know, you don't pack up and leave, right?
That second photograph, Bruce, that I pointed out, the Arundo behind Jean-Pierre's head, that's after the first year's cut. So that stuff has already come back. And what they're trying to, they know they have to go in for 2 or 3 years at least. But they have a very limited window when they can apply any kind of a weed killer to knock it down further.
So there are some similarities between this river system and Southern California river systems. And where Arundo has been effectively treated in other river systems, it's required millions of dollars. And there's a person named Jason Gisau who works with the Invasive Plant Council, the California Invasive Plant Council. It's G-I-E-S-S-O-W, Jason Gisau. And he was the engine behind getting very complicated system of permits and seeing that whole project through. It was an enormous project that he did in the, I think it was the Santa Ana River, but it was in Southern California. And he knows very well about the Salinas River's Arundo system. So I think without someone who's done it before, there is a potential for, some misguided use of efforts and maybe not understanding the long-term necessity of, you know, monitoring is one thing, but if there's not money behind the monitoring to address the reinfestation, then it might go south after 5 or 10 years of progress.
You know, I would just add, because when I started my work in the Central Coast region, it was roughly 2004, and I engaged with folks in Monterey County on issues of the non-point source pollution in our rivers, and the Salinas was one of them. And it was so there has been longstanding effort, and at that point in 2004, the RCD of Monterey County had been engaged in a very substantial program that had run out of funding. And there was a lot of hand-wringing about it because everyone was very clear. The setback wasn't just we stop work for a while we find more money, which I believe they did not. The county, no one prevailed in finding money. So they knew this problem was going to just, you know, come back. So I think there is awareness of how infested the Salinas can become and is again, but it's just to the extent that we can keep up with it and find the resources and the coordination, I think is the determination is there. It's just, you know, maintaining, sustaining that effort. So I think it's to everyone's best efforts, but certainly they know.
Can I make one more comment?
Yeah, and they're not, you know, I'd like
okay.
to move on
well,
to
I,
the item.
I just wanted to say one thing, General. I just want to remind you that this is the larger river project that was modeled after the pilot project. Mm-hmm. And the pilot project relied on, I'm not sure if it's the expert that Mr. Delgado mentioned specifically, but on state-of-the-art long-term Arundo removal mitigation and monitoring for long-term, and it's multi-year coming back in. And the evidence from the 2 years of the pilot project implementation indicate that they're moving in the right direction and they understand how much it takes and what it takes to do it and proposing something similar for similar benefit in the rest of the project. How we condition it and all that is yet to be determined and for you to comment on in July.
How hard would it be to find out how many decades and how much money people are expecting to fund this project as far as the invasive control? Is that a difficult thing to do?
I don't think so. I don't know the answer, but we have a proposal for the work. I'm not sure exactly what the mileage is, but 80, 90 miles of the Salinas River. It's a long-term proposal for a long-term project to address it. And if it's not specific already, we can certainly do some math relative to what's been spent or projected for the next 10 years.
Do you think that could be included in the July information?
I do.
And certainly we'll have Monterey County at the July board meeting available for questions as well.
And I think we can move with this item and other sources of information from cost standpoint, Lisa, is through the NRCS that also has done these projects, and the Land Conservancy has also do Arundo eradication for many years. So those are other resources if you need to. So, John, you're next.
Right, back to me. The last of the supplemental items in the EO report is covering the Buckley Road TCE plume that we spoke about just recently. So the gist of this supplemental is that the county airport, let's just call it the county has submitted a work plan for identifying if the airport is a source of this TCE. Myriad of borings and wells, groundwater sampling, soil vapor sampling. The short of it is they anticipate getting into the field in late July, out of the field by early August, probably a 2 to 3 week field period. Report to us late August. I think that might be a little ambitious. I think realistically maybe early September. So that's the gist of the supplemental.
So, John, I assume that the county is hiring a third-party consultant to perform
this
work?
Correct, they have, yes.
And the third-party consultant is an environmental
company. And a geologist that we're, a hydrogeologist that we're familiar with.
Okay.
From the area, yeah.
So it's a local firm?
not a local firm, but an individual, kind of a maybe a regional firm, you know, Southern California-based firm. But the hydrogeologist who's the lead on the project has extensive experience in San Luis Obispo County, and we know him.
And I'm, you know, the reason I asked that question is that I'm sure the results will be scrutinized by the community impacted. So we want to make sure that that firm and the credentials are fully vetted so it doesn't become a question of, well, you know, was this good science or bad science?
Right. And so our staff is doing that. That's explicit instruction is really look this thing through. If there needs to be another well, there needs to be another well. That's fine. We anticipate that also other parties, representatives of the community, hired by the community, will also be looking at this. And we've actually tried to build a constructive relationship with those parties as well, so that we're both kind of trying to get to the same destination. What's the source? So to the extent that we can work in sharing information, let's do that. So, and that's worked pretty well so far.
And the community has, in some instance, done their own sampling of wells. And has that information been shared with
us? Yes, to both. Yes, the community has done sampling beyond that which I've spoken to you about. That information has been shared. Not recently, so there may be another batch of sampling that has occurred, but probably 3 months ago we did an information share. There's a large amount of well testing that went on in December, January, and the early part of February, and we have since exchanged information. That large batch.
Right.
That's it for the executive officer's report.
All right. So that should wrap up today. So it is 4:05, and this will end our Thursday, May 12, 2016. Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting. So our meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.